Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. It is the 14th of March, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. CJ Miller and Gary Truitt are on the news today, including a dire ag economy as described by the USDA secretary. And Gary gets to the truth about bird flu and the high price of eggs in his new podcast. We'll have a preview. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has a very windy and warm day today, but storms are headed to Indiana. And yesterday, the grains and oil seeds rallied after dropping to oversold levels. Carl Setzer has market analysis on the Hat Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help our farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Why USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins describes the ag economy as dire, and why bird flu isn't the only thing causing egg prices to climb much higher. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, it's certainly been a tough time to be a farmer. In fact, USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins has recently described the state of the ag economy as dire. Recently, I asked Secretary Rollins to talk more about the current factors that are causing the state of agriculture to be in such a dire position.
Yeah, CJ, thank you for that question. So clearly, there are a lot of factors that go into this, but when you've got a $49 billion trade deficit, that is devastating to our American farmers and ranchers. $49 billion. When the cost of inputs went up 30% just in the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, how do any of our farmers make any money when the cost of inputs go up 30%, your trade deficit increases $49 billion now, and then you have a whole host of regulations that have been layered on over and over and over again. So there are a lot of factors. We are attacking it from all sides, putting together the plan that can hopefully begin to roll that back. I am planning to very aggressively, with President Trump's permission, go out into the world and look to expand our markets and also make capital easier, especially for our younger farmers, as we begin to build, hopefully, the next generation of our leaders in agriculture.
Rollins also talked about the feedback that she's received from ag producers across the U.S. regarding President Trump's tariff plan and the possible impact it could have on the ag economy.
Everyone is very concerned, and so ensuring that we have all of the data, the information that we need, understanding the decisions that they are being made, that are being currently made, what implications those have. Obviously, that is my role, to take that to President Trump and to the team that is negotiating, that is working on those deals, to ensure that those concerns are heard effectively and that we have a plan in place to make sure that our farm community is not compromised more.
Hear more from USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins at HoosierAgToday.com. When it comes to the recent bird flu outbreak, as Gary Truitt puts it, there's been a lot of exaggeration. Gary reports how the high egg prices at your grocery store have been caused by far more than just bird flu.
The HPAI outbreak over the past 6 months has resulted in almost one-third of the entire U.S. commercial laying hen flock to be euthanized. Brian Ernest, economist with CoBank, part of the Farm Credit System, says all of this comes at a time when consumer demand for eggs is skyrocketing.
The negative connotations around cholesterol with egg yolks went away, and all of a sudden, eggs became very healthy.
In the past 10 years, annual per-person consumption of eggs in the United States has jumped dramatically.
U.S. citizens were eating about 250 eggs per capita. And then as this boom in interest and demand came into play through 2019, it worked its way up to 300 eggs on an annualized basis per capita.
At the same time, consumers are demanding more cage-free eggs, which has forced egg producers to make some massive changes in their production system. Ernest says this, along with the bird flu outbreak, has meant the egg industry has not been able to reach their goal, and that current egg production is running about 100 million eggs short. More on egg prices and egg production can be found at this month's What's Threatening Farmers podcast, available at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm Gary Truitt.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Major storm complex brewing to our west. We're going to reap the benefits of that here today. And then overnight tonight through tomorrow, we get the other side of what's going on. So let's walk through it. Today is going to be very, very windy and very, very warm. I think we pushed toward or past records in a large part of the state today, and it's going to come on the backs of south winds. They're going to be 15 to 30 at least, maybe 20 to 40 at times, especially late afternoon and into the evening hours. This is a very impressive low-pressure area in the northeastern part of the upper Midwest, and it's going to be tracking through Minnesota, Wisconsin, right on through tonight and into tomorrow. The frontal boundary that's associated with this will try and work through overnight, but it doesn't get here sooner than that. I'm looking for increasing clouds this afternoon as the winds continue to howl. Rains push across the Illinois line into Indiana probably close to midnight and then continue to spread eastward through sunrise tomorrow morning. The first round of moisture, in my opinion, is done probably by mid-morning tomorrow. And this first round of moisture is honestly garden variety showers, nice spread across the state, quarter to three quarters of an inch, no big deal. Then we take a little bit of a pause before a secondary round of moisture out of the deep south reloads and comes through overnight tomorrow night into early Sunday morning. That's where we can see some thunderstorms. We can see some very strong thunderstorms in parts of the state, so gear up for that and possibly some heavier rain. All in, all done with both waves together, I think Indiana can be in a range of a quarter to maybe 1.5 inches of rain with coverage at 100%. We get into Sunday morning just after sunrise. That's when the cold air really starts to move in. So we're significantly cooler for Sunday as clouds give way to sunshine. Cooler for Monday to start the work week as well. But only in the morning. By afternoon, south winds are back and we see temperatures climbing. Tuesday and Wednesday will be mild everywhere. Overnight Wednesday night into Thursday, our next weather system comes in. Rain to start, potentially ending as snow. In my opinion, the snow accumulations are going to be most impressive in Wisconsin, back into northern Illinois and Iowa. But I don't rule out some wet snowflakes here as we see this thing end early Thursday morning. The rest of Thursday is chilly. Same thing Friday. Warming air trying to come in for the weekend of the 22nd and 23rd. And then that last week of March looks relatively active with two systems, one to start the week and one to finish it. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine. You're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Corn, soybeans, and wheat all higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. I grabbed that near the end of the session from Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Gains across all of the wheat complexes and corn and soybeans do follow higher as well. So up all around, Carl, on a Thursday. Export sales report, somewhat supportive and really what it boiled down to, it appears, tell me if I'm right or wrong, we had gotten to levels where it was just time for a bounce.
You are exactly right, Andy. We were oversold And more importantly, we were undervalued in the market, and two very different things there. Oversold is mostly from the technical side, looking at the technicals, relative strength indexes, getting down to levels where you typically do see selling at least subside. The subsiding selling alone was enough to take the pressure off the market. We've just been beat down from this selling pressure. So it didn't take a lot of buying to move us back to the positive side. Futures also starting to become a little bit undervalued, and that's where we're compared to the rest of the global market. Soybean and corn values out of Brazil have been firming nonstop this harvest as we continue to see this big push from the domestic market, both for ethanol and for soy crush, same as we are in the United States. And this is slowing down exports out of both Brazil and Argentina here during their harvest, giving us a little bit more support as our values didn't have to fall as far as we saw those South American values rally up to ours. So now we're sitting here in pretty good territory as far as the comparison to the global market. And that was the main reason for your higher export sales that you mentioned, Andy. We are very competitive in the market right now. A lot of those sales coming in right at the end of the reporting system.
So are you saying the Thursday move puts us maybe close to or no longer undervalued? And what about oversold? At what point do we get beyond that?
Yeah, we're starting to get back up above. Today's levels really did get us back out of the oversold level, and that's what we really focused on. The undervalued, also, we raised a little bit there, and we want to be competitive in the global market, but we don't want to leave money on the table. So today's rally, like I said, brought us up in line with the rest of the global market, but we still have a competitive edge that's really a plus for us.
Is there a leader right now, corn, soybeans, wheat, as you look at these values currently?
Right now, I'm looking at the soy complex as the leader of the market. Bigger gains on the nearby contracts here, mainly because farmers have just locked up their bins. We're down to the very end of what we would have for old crop bushels to market already. Many farmers saying they're 80 to 85 and a few 100% marketing on their old crop inventory. When you get to that level, it's pretty tough to get soybeans to move. And when we look at these processors, they're a little bit short. They're starting to push the market. Cash value is starting to lead the futures a little bit in that soy complex. Soybeans also starting to push for acres a little bit. We've got corn planting taking place in Texas. 24% of that state's corn is in already. There were some thoughts we could see cotton acres shift over to corn, to soybeans, but it appears as though they're going to corn. That's why we're seeing a little bit more of a leg up in that soy complex.
And is it too difficult to say whether or not the Thursday rally could actually carry over into yet another session?
If we would have normal trading sessions, Andy, I would say 100% this momentum. We bounced off some very firm technical support. The concern with the market right now, though, is any fresh tariff news just tears the market apart and scares that managed money crowd. If we look at gold values during Thursday's trade, gold up 46, almost 47 points throughout the day. Big gains in gold. Corn and soybeans followed that a little bit for the safe haven buying, but we could quickly see that reverse.
Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Carl's number is 989-506-1587. This update is powered by Purple Wave Auction. Purple Wave makes buying and selling used ag equipment easy. For more information, visit purplewave.com. On the Hat Thursday market review, up in corn, May 465 and a quarter, up 4.5. July up 4.75, 472 and a quarter. September 446 and a half, up 4 cents. May beans a dime and a quarter better, 10.10 and three quarters. July 10.25, a gain of 9.5. August up 8, 10.21 and three quarters. And May wheat 562 and a half, up 8.5 cents. The meats were mixed. April live cattle 202.05, up 65. April lean hogs 85.62. down 87. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.